Thank you so much, Karen, for sharing that with us this morning. Hey, I ask you a question this morning. I'm not going to ask you to come up and do so, but do you have a testimony? Can you tell someone how you came to Jesus? Can you tell someone what Jesus means to you now? Can you describe your relationship with him? Well, that's what it's all about. And if you can't, maybe you need to look in your heart, too, to see if you really have a relationship with him. I'm going to close the service this morning different than we normally do. But I want to go ahead and say this up front because I don't want to miss the opportunity. If you're here this morning and there's never been a time in your life that you've personally given your life to Christ and you've called upon his name and asked him to save you, for him to come into your life, to be your Lord and your Savior, well, there's not a better time, better place than right here, right now, this morning. And though I'm going to close the service a little different, and you'll see what I'm going to do at the end, I think you'll see why I'm going to do what I'm going to do in just a few minutes. I just want to tell you, don't, even though we're not going to do a come forward invitation like we typically do for someone who wants to give their life to Christ, I would invite you to come speak to myself, speak to Brother Richard, Brother Mark. We have others here that would be delighted to share with you and pray with you and show you in God's Word how you can come to Christ today and build a personal relationship with him and let him change your life. So you come to just, all you need to say to is just, Brother Ken, I need to speak to you for a minute about my relationship with Jesus, and it would be our delight to do so. Well, this morning, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, one primary verse we're going to look at today, but there are many other verses I'll mention. This message this morning is one of the utmost importance. I'm going to close out the series I've been doing on faith with this message. The title of it this morning is Faith and Vision. Next week, I'm going to start another series of messages on foundations, and we'll talk about that a little bit, but this message is going to kind of lead into that for the next weeks up leading up into Easter. But this morning, I want to speak to you about, share something with you that I think is a vital area for a church, a vital concern, particularly for a church that's going through what you're going through right now. You're in the midst of a great transition right now, whether you realize that or not. You're looking for a new senior pastor, and you finished up a pastor who had been here 27 years, long, faithful ministry, great ministry that you love dearly. But things are about to change, and regardless of who that next pastor is that comes in here, things will be different. But it's also, I believe, very important for a church to use these transitional times to really look at who they are and where they're going. When I was doing the almost three-year interim at First Baptist Church of Noonan, we went through an interesting time. The church thought they would find a pastor very, very quickly. They did not. In fact, what they thought would be about a 6 to 8 month process ended up being a 3.5 year process. Part of the reason was because as they began to get serious about talking with pastors, the church had some areas that they needed to address in some of the areas I'm going to deal with this morning, and they had not done so. And as they would talk to pastors that wanted to come in and help lead this church to make a difference, they realized they needed to look at themselves first and make some adjustments within the church so that they could be in a position where the next pastor could come in and be able to lead them to the next level of ministry that they believed God wanted them to have. As a result of that, we took a year break in looking for the pastor. We put together what we called a refocus team made up of many different individuals within the church, and we took a year to begin to study the church, where we were at, what the church needed to do, and how the church needed to progress in the days to come. Out of that came 7 what we call discovery statements about where the church was and where the church needed to go. The church adopted those statements. They received them. They voted on them. They accepted them. And then they began to move towards the direction that they believed God was leading them to be a part of. I'm not going to bore you with all the details. I'm not going to read all those to you this morning, but I do want to read one of the discovery statements that came to the church and the church agreed to do and be a part of. And this is what it said. We must be eager to receive and pursue God's vision for the next season of ministry He has planned for His church at First Baptist Church of Noonan, in order for us to continue the gospel to reach both the lost and the next generation of believers. And it's the first part of that statement that I want to emphasize this morning. We must be eager to receive and pursue God's vision for the next season of ministry. In Pleasant Valley Baptist Church, I believe that's where you are. You're moving into a new season of ministry. Whether you like that or not, whether you want that or not, whether you realize that or not, that is where you are. And the important thing for you right now as a church is that you do exactly what I just read here, that you be eager to receive and pursue God's vision for what He wants to do in this church for the days to come. So I want to deal this morning with this whole matter of vision, and I want to deal with it in such a way that I hope it brings you to the place that you can say what these folks at First Baptist Noonan said: I'm eager to receive what God has for us at our church in this new season. So here's what I wanted to share with you this morning. I'm going to talk about the significance of vision. I'm going to talk about the stopping of vision. And then thirdly, the securing of vision this morning. And I'm going to go full speed. So just listen real careful this morning so I can get finished so you can go eat at a reasonable hour today. The significance of vision. I start by asking and answering, what is the significance of having vision, and how important is this matter of vision for our church? And to answer that question, you don't have to go any further than one verse of Scripture. It's found in the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. And since it's just one verse this morning, I'm going to be reading a number of other verses to you. I'll let you remain seated. I read from the New American Standard Updated Version. This is how it translates that verse. It says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Now, most people are more familiar with the way the King James Version puts that verse, and it simply says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So I ask the question again, why is vision so important? And the answer to that question is because the Bible tells us without it, people perish. And I would add, churches perish. That's why you need to have vision. I don't like that word perish. I don't know about you. Even when we quoted in John 3:16, what a horrible word to perish. In the Hebrew language that our Old Testament was written in, that word perish means to pass away or to suffer death in a violent or an untimely way. And that's what happens when people have no vision. That's what happens when churches have no vision. And there are way too many churches and Christian organizations that have perished because they stopped seeking what God really wanted for them in their life. Hey, that happens to individual believers. Why do we have so many names on our church rolls where you don't even see people coming to church, much less involved in a vital relationship with the Lord Jesus? Well, at least in part, the answer to that question is they've stopped seeking God's vision. They've stopped realizing what God has for them. They've stopped looking to God for what He wants to accomplish in their life and through their life. Chuck Swindoll, the great Bible teacher, put it this way: vision is essential for survival. It's greater than sight, deeper than a dream, broader than an idea. Vision encompasses vast vistas outside the realm of the predictable, the safe, and the unexpected. No wonder we perish without it. Without vision, people perish. I have not read the entire history of Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. But I have read enough of it and talked to enough of you about it to know that almost 200 years ago, a group of godly people who lived in this part of Northwest Georgia sensed the leadership of God to begin a Baptist work that was to later be called Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. This church came into existence not only in the heart of God, really before the very foundations of the world, but it came into existence because of the vision that a small handful of people had for planting this church here almost 200 years ago. And over these years, this church has served preaching the gospel to this part of the greater Rome area. Where did it start? It started with vision. Without such a vision, that church would have never started. In order to know what vision really is, let me see if I can define it for you. What does it actually mean? Well, in the Hebrew language, the word vision could mean a mental sight, a dream, a revelation, or the ability to see ahead. In explaining it, I like what the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee once said. I can't speak like he did. He always kind of talked through his nose if you ever listened to him. But he had a way of putting things out simply. And he defined vision this way. Vision is actually spiritual understanding. Well, that's good. And that really is what it is. Another person put it this way. Vision is seeing that which is not seen as already seen. Taking the definition of faith found in Hebrews 11:1, that's how they define this whole matter of vision. Dr. J. Oswald Sanders, in his book entitled Spiritual Leadership, once wrote these words, "Those who have most powerfully and permanently influenced their generation have been seers, men who have seen further and more than others, men of faith, for faith is vision. Vision includes foresight as well as insight. Vision includes optimism and hope. No pessimist ever made a great leader. The man of vision is willing to take fresh steps of faith where there is only a seeming void beneath." That's what vision really is. I take all that, I put it together, and I'll offer this definition to you this morning. Vision is the God-given ability to see and discern that which He would have you do as you serve Him in His kingdom. Vision is being able to see by faith the goals and directions which God would have for your life and for your ministry. Vision is being able to spiritually understand what God would have you do with your life or what God would have a church do where He has planted it. For vision to be true biblical vision, let me give you this description, these following characteristics. Number one, for vision to be true biblical vision, vision will originate with God. It will originate with God. In other words, it will be God's vision for you and His church. It will not be your vision. Now, this is an important fact, and I want to stay here for just a moment. It's interesting to note that in the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, we find the Lord warning His people about this very matter. Jeremiah 23:16 says the following, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you." This is what's going on with them. "They are leading you into futility, for they speak a vision of their own imagination and not from the mouth of the Lord." For vision to be true biblical vision, it's God's vision. Now, folks, I do believe that vision for a church must be driven by the senior pastor. In fact, in Amos, the 3rd chapter, verse 7, it says, "Surely the Lord does nothing unless He reveals His secret counsel to His servants, the prophets." In the New Testament times, that would obviously be considered the pastors. But let me emphasize this, it's His counsel that is revealed. To our pulpit committee here, let me just say a word to you. When you're talking to candidates, Don't ask, what is your vision for this church? Their vision for this church is not what's important. What is vitally as important is God's vision for this church. And what a senior pastor ought to be doing is not giving you his vision for what he wants to do here. He ought to be able to lead you as a church to find God's vision of what God wants to do here and then lead you to follow it fully. It's God's vision that makes the difference. My vision doesn't matter. My vision won't accomplish anything. And if you build a vision on a man's vision, when that man is gone, what happens to it? It falls apart. It's God's vision. And for vision to be true biblical vision, it must originate with God. Vision comes from God. The pastor's responsibility is to help you as a church find out what that is and then to challenge you to follow it fully. Vision will originate from God. Secondly, vision will include the mission of the church. True biblical vision will always include the mission of the church. And what is the mission of the church? Well, the answer is clear. The mission is the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? To take the gospel to all people. And I would remind us, that's not the great suggestion, it's the Great Commission. And if we understand God's vision, and when he gives God's vision, it will in part be in part of taking the gospel to people everywhere, not only here in this community, but around the world. I'll preach more on that in just the coming days. Vision will originate from God. It will include the mission of the church. Thirdly, vision will be beyond our ability to fulfill it on our own. In other words, God's vision will be bigger than we are. So when God gives vision, it will cause us to have to look to him for his power and his provision to complete the vision. It will be beyond our capacity to fulfill it in human strength. And folks, one of the beautiful things about that, when a church begins to move in that realm, when God begins to work, you stand in awe at what God is doing. I remember at Lilburn when we were beginning to reach so many of the language groups that were around our church, many of the different cultural groups that were so many. And as I shared a little bit with you, we didn't have a clue what we were doing. We just had to trust God and believe God to give us direction, and God was doing that. And God was working in so many ways. We had a guest come in one day, and she was actually coming to speak to a senior adult event. She had never been in our church before. She'd never been in the sanctuary before. As far as I know, she didn't know a whole lot about our church outside the fact she was supposed to speak there that day. And as our staff member who was in charge of our senior adult work introduced me to her, this lady grabbed me by the hand. She held on to it tight. She looked me square in the eye, and this is what she said. She said, "Pastor, God is in this place. God is in this place." Well, how did she know that? Because God was doing something in that church that was way beyond anything we could have ever done. He was there. And when God gives vision, it will be beyond what we can do. And when he begins to do it, you have to say, look at what God is doing. Here's another thing about vision. Vision will always be about the future and not the past. Now let me say that again. Vision will always be about the future and not the past. Hey folks, how easy it is for us to so hang on to memories of the past that we hinder what God wants to do in our lives and in our churches because we don't want to move on from the past. And while the past is to be remembered, even honored in a proper manner, it can never hinder what God wants to do in your life individually or in the church corporately for the future. And when God gives fresh vision to his people, it will always have to do with advancing his kingdom for the future. There's nothing that will hinder God's vision for a church quicker than a people who want to hang on to the past instead of looking to God for what he wants to do today and tomorrow. You cannot live in the past and thrive with God's vision. It will always be about the future and not the past. And then I'd say this to you, vision will cause us as a church to have to walk by faith. It always does. It always does. If it's beyond us, we're going to have to trust God. If it's about the future, we can't see the future. We have to trust God. We have to believe him. It keeps us walking by faith and not by sight. That's the value of wisdom, of vision. It makes me trust God. And that's the beauty of it. I remember as our refocus team at Noonan began going through this whole process, we learned as we observed some things in the church, as the church began to grasp a new vision, we saw that it created excitement in the church. It gave purpose to the church. It inspired the hearts of our church members. It empowered the leadership of the church. It promoted excellence in what we did as a church. It encouraged giving because people wanted to get in on what God was doing, and it created a clear plan and journey for the future of the church. That is why vision is so very, very, very important. And I really believe one of the most important things you could be doing right now as a church is seeking God fully for what he wants to do in the days to come here in this congregation. That's the significance of vision. Let me deal secondly this morning with the stopping of vision, the stopping of vision. If vision is all that's important, and it is, what will stop God's people from having it? And the reason I want to deal with this for a moment is because this is why a lot of people don't have a clear vision for their life. And it certainly is why a lot of churches don't. Hey, during these last number of months, I've had the privilege of preaching in a lot of churches. And the unique opportunity to get to minister to some churches, some of them at one time were thriving good churches, but now they're almost at the point of death. And part of the reason, something happened that caused them not to want what God had for them. Some of it maybe was done in ignorance. Some of it, they just chose to turn a deaf ear to it, if you would, or blinded eye. So what stops God's vision? I'll offer these reasons. I'm sure there's many. One, ignorance. Ignorance, in other words, they don't realize God had a vision for them. And I believe for every church, in fact, actually, I believe for every born-again believer, God has a specific vision for them. There are things that you can only accomplish for the kingdom of God. You need to hear from God about your life. God has a specific purpose for this church that no other church can accomplish. But we sometimes don't know that. We don't realize it. Ignorance keeps us from having vision. Secondly, preoccupation can keep us from having vision. In other words, we get so preoccupied with secondary issues, we lose sight of the primary vision that God has for us. And one person put it this way, many times we tend to major on minors, or we get so preoccupied with our needs and our desires that we lose sense of what God wants to do in our life. A third reason we can stop vision is unwillingness. In other words, we're unwilling to do what God reveals to us. And again, I've seen it happen often. God begins to reveal his vision, his purpose, and his will for an individual or a church. And we just decide we don't want that. We don't want that. And that happens all too often. I remember the church that Richard and I served together. We were one of the closest churches to Valdosta State University that had exploded in growth, and nobody in Valdosta at that time was really reaching college students. And we began to look at how could we better reach college students, which, by the way, the Lord gave us a unique opportunity to do that later, where we really literally reached hundreds of college kids as they were coming to school there in Valdosta. But at first, I mean, we were just a mile from the Valdosta State campus. And when we started reaching some of these kids, I had some folks come to me and they said, what are you going to do about these kids coming to our church? They don't dress like we do. They come in late. And they had every excuse in the book. And I told them, I said, folks, we've been praying, asking God to give us a way to reach these college kids. And you mean to tell me you're going to let this stop you from reaching out to these kids, these things? Well, thank God they got past that. But a lot of times our unwillingness to do what God shows us keeps us from being able to have vision. A fourth thing, apathy keeps us from having vision. In other words, some people just don't care. Some churches just don't care. They don't care whether God uses them or not. They would rather just go through the motions of religion as it's always been than to seek God for a fresh vision and then begin to obey that vision. You ask, are there really people like that in our churches? Oh, yeah. I hate to tell you that. Some churches are full of people like that. These often are the people who don't want to change. They'd rather have it like it's always been because they don't want to become uncomfortable. And they don't want God doing something new. We are seeing unprecedented numbers of churches dying in our Southern Baptist Convention in these days. A lot of reasons for that. But one reason is we have people who no longer care. They'd rather die than to do what's necessary to change for God to give fresh vision to that church. And here's one other matter, and then I'll close this morning. Another reason we don't have vision is because of what we'll call traditionalism. Traditionalism. A number of years ago at one of our Georgia Baptist conventions, he's now passed on, but Dr. Roy Fish, who was the head of the evangelism department at the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. In fact, Dr. Fish was probably for many years in Southern Baptist life known as Mr. Southern Baptist. What a godly man. What a powerful man he was. He was the keynote speaker at our Georgia Baptist Convention. This was a time in our convention, not only in Georgia Baptist Convention, but really across the Southern Baptist Convention, that liberalism had kind of snuck its way in, and there was a fight for the spiritual life of the convention. The conservative resurgence was happening, and a lot of that had taken a lot of the attention in our convention and in state conventions alike. But I never will forget when Dr. Fish got up to speak, he asked the question, and he said something like this. He said, what is the most dangerous thing we are facing today in our churches and in our convention? And then he answered the question. He said, some of you think I'm going to say liberalism, but I would tell you today that is not the most serious matter we're facing in our churches. He said, let me tell you what I believe it is. He said, it is the problem of traditionalism. And then he went on to say, let me define what I mean by traditionalism. It can be defined one of two ways. One, we've never done it that way before. Or number two, but we've always done it that way before. And folks, do you realize that when a church gets to that point, that they're not open to anything new because they want it done like it's always been done? They're at the point of death, unfortunately. There are some things that should never change in a church. The gospel does not change. Jesus does not change. The Word of God does not change. To try to change those things that are changeless will destroy a church. But there are also things in the life of the church that must change in order to reach the people of that day and age. And if a church refuses to change those things that need to change, they too will quickly die. We've never done it that way before. We've always done it that way before. The stopping of vision. Let me close this morning with this, the securing of vision. How do you get it? How do you find it? How does it come? And I would say to you this morning, wouldn't it be nice if God just sent you a note, said, here's what I have for you? Or if he was to send a letter to Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church and say, here's my vision for you. But he's not going to do that. But he has given us ways to find his vision. And he teaches us how we can find out what he wants. In fact, I really personally believe this. I believe God wants us to see his vision more than we want to see his vision for us. He delights in revealing it when we seek him rightly. How does God reveal his vision to a person? How does God reveal his vision to a church? Number one, we get vision from the Holy Spirit. We get vision from the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, we read a prophetic verse concerning the coming ministry of the Holy Spirit. I love this verse. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit when he comes in his personal way. In New Testament times, he often spoke of the Holy Spirit as the teacher. He, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you, this is the way, walk in it whenever you turn to the right or turn to the left. In other words, there's coming one called the teacher that will guide you step by step along the way. And aren't you so glad God's Holy Spirit does that for the believer? Then you find in the scriptures, we find many commands concerning the Holy Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to live in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit. Why? Because he's able to teach us what we need to know about God and his ways and his work. I don't have that kind of understanding, but he does. That's why we have to let him fill our lives. That's why we have to let him lead us. He knows what's out there for us. He knows what lies ahead. Then you come to the revelation. Jesus speaking some of his last words for the church. In Revelation 2 and 3, we're introduced to seven churches. Each one of those churches, Jesus spoke a specific word to. Every one of them. But every time he got through speaking to those seven churches, this is what he said. He who has an ear, a spiritual ear, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, this vision will come from the Holy Spirit as he guides and directs and leads those who have the spiritual ears tuned in to listen to him in the church. That's where vision comes from. And folks, that's true in your life too. Well, I just don't know what God would have me do with my life. Have you ever asked him? And then if you have you ever shut up long enough to listen to him? Let him speak. Be willing to do what he tells you to do. You'd be surprised how quick he'll tell you. If that's your attitude, vision comes from the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we get vision from God's Word. I go back to our original verse this morning. Without vision, the people perish. But the second part of that verse goes on to say, but happy or fulfilled is he who keeps the law. You want to know God's vision for your life? Here it is, folks. God has spoke everything he wants us to know right here in a book that we call the Bible. He has spoken generally to us, things that are true for every one of us who are born again believers in Jesus. It's amazing to me how the power of the Holy Spirit of God can take the power of the written word of God and speak it to your life directly about life today if you'll only learn to listen to him. Have you ever been reading the Bible and you read a word that had been, you've read it 100 times, and all of a sudden you read it that 101st time and it jumps off the pages and grabs your heart like you've never read it before? That's the power of the word. And I don't know how many times over these years, as I've been seeking the Lord about a matter, that God took his word, that in some cases were written 3,500 years ago, and spoke to me about his will for my life today. That's the power of his word. By the way, that's one of the reasons the devil don't like God's word being preached. God's word gives us the mind and the heart of God. That's where vision comes from. Vision, thirdly, we get vision through prayer. Prayer. And I don't mean just, oh God, what do you want from me? I mean seeking God seriously, earnestly in prayer. Some of my favorite verses in the Bible, Jeremiah 29:11-14. Jeremiah writes and he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." When? When you seek God with all your heart in prayer. I really believe one of the things that's so very important for you to be doing as a church, and I know you are doing this, you're doing it in small groups, I'm sure you're doing it even in larger groups. I know the Wednesday nights I've been here, when Richard's led the prayer times, it's been included in our prayer every Wednesday night that I've been here. You're asking God to reveal who his next pastor is to be here. You seek God's vision in prayer. God reveals it as we seek him in prayer. By the way, that's part of the reason God's house is to be known as a house of prayer. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But you seeking God and his purposes in prayer. And here's the last thing I'll say about vision this morning, and then we're going to close. We get vision by faith. We get vision by faith. I read to you a moment ago the statement by J. Oswald Sanders. Remember what he said about vision? He said, "Faith is vision." In other words, we must by faith trust God to show us what he would have us to do, and then by faith follow it with all of our heart and all of our might. I close with this last illustration. Again, I go back to the church that Richard and I had the privilege of serving together, Northside Baptist. Northside was a struggling church in the early years that we were there. And it was struggling for many, many reasons. But God began to work, and by his grace, he began to do a work there. And we began to see the church grow a little bit. And I remember even before Richard got there, we had grown to the extent that we as a church needed to add another staff member. Now, the problem with that is that the church had never had that many staff members before. Secondly, we were already behind our budget giving, $50,000 for that given year, and we were about to add a salary package of another $50,000 or $60,000 to our church budget. And if you went by sight, you would say that's not wise to do. But God had absolutely made it clear to the church leadership, and had made it very, very clear to most of the church family. And we began to go through the process of working through our committees to put together a job description and began our search. And we brought it to the church to give final approval because we were adding another staff position to the church. And as we shared what we believed God had said and where God was leading us, and we'd already shared that with a lot of our leadership within the church, and everybody was on board with it. Everybody was excited about it. I never will forget what happened in our business meeting. As it was shared, one gentleman raised his hand, and I thought, oh, Lord, here it comes. And after we had shared the motion, He raised his hand, moderator recognized him, and he started his conversation this way, "Brother preacher." Now let me just tell you, that is code for you're in trouble, preacher. When somebody starts out their conversation, it's that way, it's never good. "Brother preacher, I got a question for you." I said, "All right, sir. How are we going to pay for this new position that you want to add?" You know what I told him? I was very nice. I smiled. This was my answer. "I don't have a clue, sir. I don't have a clue." But then I went on to say this. "But God said do it, and I believe if we trust him, he'll make provisions." I told Richard the other day, the first time we'd seen each other a long, long time, we were talking about the old times, and I said, I really believe the turning point in Northside Baptist Church was that business meeting. Because that night, the church determined it was going to walk by faith and not by sight. God had made clear his plans to us. The church voted almost unanimously to do it. And by the way, I'll give this gentleman credit. After we voted on it as a church, he walked up to me. I saw him coming. I thought, oh, Lord, he's going to chew me out now. And he looked at me, stuck his hand out. He said, "Preacher, I didn't like it, and I didn't vote for it. But now that we voted for it, I'm all for it. Amen. Let's go." Which, by the way, that's the right attitude. Amen. Do you know what happened to that church? It literally exploded in growth for 4 or 5 years. And still to this day, it went through some rocky times here for a little while. Still one of the, in fact, it may be one of the two largest Baptist churches in South Georgia today. I believe God was testing us. Are you going to walk by faith? Or are you going to walk by sight? You going to trust what you can do? Or are you going to trust what I can do? Folks, that's why we need vision. That's why you as a church need vision. Your heart needs to be this. God, show us. What do you want for this church? Boy, it's so easy to say, well, this is what I want and what I don't want. I'm gonna preach on this next Sunday. It's not about you. It's about him. And when we set our hearts on what he wants, we enter a whole different dimension of life and living in the Spirit. We enter into the world of what God can do in our presence. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to close this service totally different this morning. I almost always give an evangelistic invitation, and I shared that earlier. If you're here today and you need to give your heart and your life to Jesus, don't leave this place until you come speak to one of us. We want to talk to you and share with you and pray with you. But I think this morning, I think it's more important, or as important, that you as a church give some kind of outward expression, some kind of outward commitment to what you just heard. I don't know what you think about the message. I'm not talking about the way I preached it. I'm talking about the message of the need for vision, wanting to know what God wants, and then committing our heart to follow it fully. God, we want what you want. We want your will done here. We want you to accomplish your purposes for the coming years through this fellowship. I hope that's your heart. And this morning, nobody's looking around. This is between you and the Lord. And I'm going to pray for us. But if you're willing to say, "Brother Ken, I agree with what you said this morning. I want God's will done here. I want what God wants for us as a church. I'm willing to yield what I want. I want him to show us what his will and purpose is. All we need his vision. And I'm willing to follow him fully." If that's your heart's desire today, would you be willing and be so bold? Would you just stand to your feet for a moment and let me pray for you all across this building? Would you be willing to stand and pray? Let me pray for you. Would you just remain standing for a moment? Lord, you see this, your church. So many across this room have stood to pray. Lord, I pray that you will empower them to do what they've said they would do. Lord, it's not about us. It's not what we want. It's what you want. It's about your purposes and your plans. God, it's about your vision. It's about your desires for this congregation. Thank you for the way you have used this church in the past. Oh God, thank you so much for so many in this church that desire to see you use it in the future. And we thank you by faith for what you're going to do in this church in the days to come. Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on you. Help the desire of our heart be what you want, not what we want. Lord, I pray that you'll work in such a way that we'll be able to see what happens and we can talk about what God is doing in this fellowship in the days to come. Lord, that is our prayer. We lift it to you this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Lord, we do love you today. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the way you have worked. Lord, for that person that might be here today that does not know you, Lord, would you just put that desire in their heart today to come speak to one of us? Lord, let them not be able to find rest walking out of here without saying something. Thank you for the way you draw them. And then, Lord, for this, your church, we thank you for your grace, your goodness, and your mercy for the days to come. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you just remain standing for a moment? And Richard's got a couple of last words he's going to share, and then we will be dismissed.